Okay, brethren, as we start out again with our study here in 2 Samuel chapter 23, though we'll be starting verse 8, I want to go ahead and give a little review there. As we start out the chapter here, the last time we were studying, from chapter 23, verse 1, you're going to be noticing how the Lord is going to be reaffirming all that He's going to be doing with David and with Israel, both in the covenant and the promises made to them, and how those things are going to be fulfilled as they remain faithful. So the Lord starts out with them, and as He does, He, of course, inspires His word and gives it to David to write down. Now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And He said, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun shineth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springeth out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. You see here, He's making it not to grow. He's giving Israel the promises and the covenant, and He says these things are going to come through, and they're going to come through by the means of that rock. And of course, we know the rock to be Christ. But He also says that He make it not to grow. The issue is, He's not going to make it grow unless or as Israel should get on with their faithfulness back, their end of the covenant also, to agree with those things. Now, God's going to make it come through, and in the end, it's going to be all God, and God's going to be every bit the work of it, and the truth of it. But Israel at least ought to be able to remain faithful in their mind, and then of course from there, of course, with their agreement and their admission that they would want to keep all the law and such, they through their faithfulness, they would hope to be able to keep the law. And of course, we know that no man can ever keep the law, but only the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, He's the one that's finally going to end up coming, as we well know. He was the one that came on the cross, came and gave His life and His sacrifice on the cross, and did that for Israel what they could not do for themselves. And He, of course, is going to be that just ruler and judge. But He's also here going to make mention of those that are in unbelief, and those that David had been fighting with all throughout the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and Israel had been fighting against all throughout, ever since the time they were started through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of course, even through all that, notice here that the issue is that Israel is not to get involved with the things that they're doing, not to be involved or to be going hand in hand with them, or for instance, not to be laying their hands on the things that they're doing. He says in verse six, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with the hands. But the men that shall touch them shall be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. You watch here as God is talking here. First off, He's talking about the completion of the covenant and the setting up the kingdom and the blessings for the nation Israel. But notice here also in this same passage where He's talking about those great days when the Lord is going to fulfill all those things, and it's going to be the Lord to fulfill it, not man, that also at that time, guess who He's up against? He's up against Belial. He's up against Antichrist and his helpers, you see. And He's up against the fact that the nation Israel, there's going to be many of the nation Israel getting involved with the things of that religious system of the Muslims and intermingling with the things of all the Antichrist and all the rest of it. And here the Lord again is giving them warning not to touch those things. And by the way, He's also giving him of the things that the religious, unbelieving nation is going to be trusting in. When He talks about being fenced with iron, you remember, as we touched on these on these subject matters often, how that in the book of Daniel, when Daniel comes over there and he looks and he sees this great image, there's an image of, and his head is of gold, and his chest and his midsection there is of silver, and it goes down and around, it goes down till you get to his feet, where his legs are made of iron, and his feet is made of his toes are made of dirt and of clay and of iron. You see, in those last days, clay, the dirt, is the typology of man. And the iron, as throughout all the Bible, the iron has to do with the typology of the angels and of the power that they give to the people that, in unbelief, of course, the fallen angels go in and they control those people. They indwell them and they work through them, and they're able to do these mighty works and such. And in fact, you see, he's talking about how it is that those in unbelief in those last days, just as it was in the days of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, Antichrist would enter, for instance, that guy that came out of the gravesite there, and he would do all those mighty works and things and have all that strength to break the chains that bound him and all the rest. But of course, again, unbelieving Israel is going to be all involved with those things, and it's going to be the empowerment of Antichrist and his angels that are going to be let out of hell in the last days, as told us in the book of Revelation, that it's with all those powers of those fallen angels that the unbelieving nation Israel is going to be fighting against the things of the Lord in those days. But watch here now. First off, of course, we have David thanking the Lord for all his blessings and all the help and all the strength that he's giving him to beat off the unbelievers, you know, the Philistines and the Canaanites and all the rest of it, as he's bringing Israel into their land and setting up the kingdom now, even under their king, David. But then again, there's this issue that David's had all down along his history, where, for instance, David got involved with Bathsheba and Joab and Uriah, and Joab was this guy, this brother-in-law that was just constantly getting involved with tricky dealings and just deceitful dealings with David and such, and yet David could not come up and just flat judge him, because Joab was the one that David used to do away with Uriah, you see? And so because of David's weak dealings there and faithfulness to the Lord, he could not deal strongly with Joab in his unbelief, although he tried many times. He tried replacing Joab many times, as we had seen in our studies there, and yet Joab would just kill the people that David was trying to replace him with. And it always comes down to the point that David would not be able to reprove Joab to the very end, because of that weakness that he had built up in himself, that unsureness, that weak hand that he had, because of his own faults and bad dealings, and his getting Joab involved in those things. So here, now, as we go on and we notice David is just thanking the Lord for it and understanding that it's the Lord that's going to do all these things in the final days. Watch here now as he goes on. David's all of a sudden going to be looking at his armies, the armies that the Lord has strengthened through his hand to help him in these battles. And David's going to start noticing these armies. He's not only going to name the leaders of the armies, but he's going to get to the point, by the time we get to chapter 24, verse 1, he's going to start numbering them and trusting in them and what they were able to do, rather than in the things that the Lord had done through and for them, through Israel, through the armies, and for them. Watch here now. These be the names, verse 8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahorite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned to him to the spoil. David here is going to be talking about the three mightiest of all his men. The three mightiest, and you'll notice that Joab is not mentioned in them, because Joab is going to be done away. He was not to be recognized of the Lord for being a true leader and helper with Israel. But notice here, and then he goes on, verse 11, and after him was Shema, the son of Abdi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines, but he, that would be Shema, He stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Notice here, in these battles that this army and even the leaders of the armies are getting on in battle here, it's always the Lord that wrought a great victory. Here in verse 12, and back there in verse 10, it was the Lord that wrought a great victory. But watch this, how you know, we have this great history of Israel, where Israel got to think of themselves, because they were chosen of the Lord, they got thinking of themselves as being that great nation. And those, you listen to the Jews now, and they'll talk about how it is that they never sinned, and that's why the Lord picked them, because they were a mighty and powerful nation. And of course, we know that's not true at all. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord tells Israel themselves that he didn't choose them because they were a mighty nation, but that they were because they were small and weaker than all the rest of the nations, to show that it was the Lord that was going to get this work done in that nation that was going to be his. But watch here now. He's naming these three mighty men of the nation, of the armies, and yet even with that, it's the Lord that's getting the work done. But watch this as we go over here. Now remember, brethren, when we're studying 2 Samuel, we're studying 2 Samuel and we're studying Israel as they relied on the men, as they relied on their own flesh, and the things of that. When we go in over into the books of 1 and 2 Chronicles, we're going to be looking at how it is that the nation was to be relying on the Lord and the things that he was getting done then, and how he was working through that nation. But here in the book of 1 Chronicles, hold your hand in 2 Samuel 23 and get yourself 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Get that book there. And when you get over there, notice here as we start in about verse 10, we're again going to be starting and reading according to these men that were the chief men of David's army. Notice here now as we compare 1 Chronicles with 2 Samuel. And listen, brother, in these two chapters, 2 Samuel chapter 23 and 2 Samuel chapter 24, you're going to be noticing there so many different counts, so many different numbers, so many different perspectives of the same event going on, that all of a sudden, you know, a lot of those people that don't trust the authorized King James Version Bible, they're going to be looking at these differences, and they're going to say, look there, an error in the King James Version Bible. But you see, the issue is that they're not errors. They're coming from a different perspective. That's why the numbers are so often so different, or the names and such as that. As we'll see as we continue on in these two chapters in these studies here, we've been pointing out some of those differences already here as we studied verses 1 through 7. But watch here now as we continue. Watch here. When you compare 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, with 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 10, watch this here now. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and with him all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men who David had: Jashobeam and Hakamite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up the spear against 300 slain by him at one time. Now watch closely now. Now compare closely that with 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8, And notice here that it talks about the Tachmite there that sat in the seat chief among the captains. The same was Agino, the Esnite. Here he's talking as an Esnite, and in Chronicles, of course, they talk about him as a Hakamite. Again, these things here are concerning some different from... Hold on a moment. Somebody was trying to interfere with the study here. These different names, again, come from the different perspectives of who he was, whether he was coming from his father's side, which was to be related with Israel, or coming from his mother's side, or the family side, or the earthly side, the fleshly side. But notice here also, it says that he left his spear up against 800, whom he slew at one time. That's what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. But notice over here in 1 Chronicles, chapter 11, verse 11, it says that he lift up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. Do you see the difference there? One time, in 2 Samuel, it's 800, and in Chronicles, it's 300. Notice, though, if you read, when you read your Bible, brethren, you want to read it believing in the Bible, believing that the Bible is true. This issue of the Authorized King James Version and the English translation being God's Word, this thing we study that so often, and we have come to find for our looking for the truth of God's Word and where God's Word is, we have no doubt that we have it in the Authorized King James Version Bible, the English translation. It's a translation, you see, because it's English. But notice here that when we come to study this Bible, we know that God's Word is true from beginning to end. It talks about men's lies, but the Word is true. So if the Word is true and it's without error, it's absolutely, in our Authorized Bible, we have the completed, perfected, preserved Word of God without error, right here now with us, and we carry it with us everywhere we go. If it's without error, listen, brother, when we study these differences, we want to look for the reasons that the differences are there, and yet those differences can still be true, right? Isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that what you'd want to do? If you're going to believe that it's God's Word and He's true, aren't you going to look for the reasons why it is that these differences are there? Sure you are. But notice it says that he slew 300 at one time, and he slew 800 at one time. Do you see the difference there? He's talking about different times, brethren. He's talking about different times. One time he did slew 300, and then another time, you see, another time he slew 800. But watch now as we go on. Verse 9, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9, we're going to talk about the second leader of the first three. We're going to find two groups of three as we continue in this study here, who were the leaders of the army of the nation of Israel. We're going to talk about the first group of three, and then later we're going to find another group of three that were not as mighty or as strong or as powerful as the first three. But in this first group of three, notice here again, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Elohite, are one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and he returned after him only to the spoil. Watch here. He clave unto the sword. Have you ever, listen, you know what he's talking about? Have you ever been out there, say you're out there swiping the weeds, you know, with a weed trimmer. You know, the ones you swing with your arms, and you swing back and forth, and it cuts the weeds. Have you ever been doing it so long that your hands just, by the time you get done, you've been holding that thing so tight that you just can't release it from your hands? You see there? You know, look, notice here that the issue here, brethren, when we study God's Word, we compare it word with word, verse with word, verse, passage with passage. We're looking to compare something here. Notice here that this great warrior for Israel, he's talking about the things that his hands are gripping onto, the things that his hands are holding onto, right? The things to get on with the victory and the battle of the Lord. Well, when you consider that, you consider what his hands are about. And remember we were looking at those sons of Belial up there in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 23 of 2 Samuel? We were looking at how it is that the men of Israel were not to put their hands unto them. They were not to get their hands involved in the things that the men of Belial were getting involved with. Do you see that? Do you see a difference? You see the faithful men that were of the captains of the nation Israel? But here again, this Eleazar, there's a comparative passage again over in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. In 1 Chronicles chapter 11, notice again that he's going to talk about him, and he talks to him, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, an Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. Again, this is one of the three mighties here with David, and he was one of the first three, the first group of three. He says in verse 13, he was with David at the Pathdammim, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, and where was a parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines, and they set themselves in the midst of that parcel, and delivered it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Again, it was the work of the Lord getting on with the battle there. It was the Lord delivering them, just as David had started out the passage thanking the Lord in chapter 23. But notice here, this Eleazar, he was over there battling against the Philistines when he was holding on to that sword so tightly. And notice that as he did, he got out of there, and the battle was in a ground full of barley, you see, and the Philistines fled from before them. Notice over here, when we go back to 2 Samuel, we were looking at Eleazar, right, from verse 9 and 10, but notice here, he's going to go on to a third captain in 2 Samuel that's not mentioned in 1 Chronicles, and yet the man here now that he's also going to be fighting with here, he's going to be fighting again with David, and he's also going to be enjoined with the things that Eleazar was just speaking about over there in 2 Chronicles, that he was with Israel over there in that territory where the Philistines were gathered together. Notice here, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11, and after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from before the Philistines. When you compare those two passages, brethren, you come to find out that Eleazar, when he was over there with David, and over there against the Philistines, and he was in that field full of barley, he was also there with Shammah, you see. And he was over there where the Philistines were also gathered together, and there was a piece full of lentils. You see, the lentils in 2 Samuel chapter 23 are described as barley over there in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Isn't that something? Isn't that just the truth of it? Now, people are, again, going to try to make that a difference and say, see, your King James Authorized Version Bible doesn't know the difference between lentils and barley or between Shema and Eleazar, but when you put the two passages together, you see that all three of them were over there in that battle up against the Philistines, and you see again how it was that they were getting involved with putting their work to the things of the Lord, weren't they, brethren? What a great truth, and what a great enlightenment there as we go on and read. Now we're going to go on and read, and we're going to see about another group of three guys. Group of three men that were the captains of the nation Israel, of the army there, and he's going to go on from verse 14, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 14, and David was then in an hold, and the garrison was of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. These three mighty men are going to be three different mighty men. Notice, verse 18. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among the three, and he lifted up the spear against 300 and slew them, and he had name among the three. Notice, it's going to be among these second three. Watch here now as he goes on. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore, he was their captain. Howbeit, watch here. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. That would be the three captains that we had just previously studied about. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzi, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men. All right, here's another man, another of this second group of three, Benaiah. And notice here again, he's got his hand and his work going on again to the things of the word of the Lord. And he's also fighting against these issues of these giants and the seed that was left of them, the things that the nation Israel is going to be hard fought against in the last days, as he again mentions the spear of this Egyptian, again, in typology of the spear and the sword and the iron of those men who had mixed their seed line with those of the angels. But watch here now as he continues. Now watch as we compare this with First Chronicles. Again, First Chronicles chapter 11. First Chronicles chapter 11, where we're going to start off in verse 15. First Chronicles chapter 11, verse 15. Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David, into the cave Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. Again, this is the same place that we were just reading about over there in 2 Samuel, where David was in the hold. And it says here, David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well at Bethlehem that is at the gate." And the three brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, and that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord, and said, My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest. Notice again, these three mightiest, he's going to separate them from the first three. And watch, Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief of the three. For lifted he up his spear against 300, and he slew them, and had a name among the three. Of the three, he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain. He was more honorable than any of the other two of the second group, but he attained not to the first three. He was not as mighty or as powerful or as honorable as that group of first three. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kaziel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. That's exactly what 2 Samuel says about him. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. And in the Egyptian hand was a spear, like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighties. Behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. Again, he was a captain of the second group of three, but none of them had reached unto the power and the strength and the honorableness of the first three. Now watch here now as he's going to go on. And David again now, he's just thanked the Lord and just praised the Lord for all the work that the Lord was doing to set Israel up and bring it into their kingdom and bring the kingdom into its strength and its beauty and its strong. But watch here now, he's dwelling on his army. He's dwelling on the strength of his mighty men. He's dwelling on men and their abilities. And all of a sudden, as we get to the end of this chapter, in the beginning of chapter 24, David's heart's going to change, you see. And he's going to change because, you know what, he's getting involved. You know what he's doing is he's conversing with the nation. He's conversing with all those all around him of the nation Israel, as we're going to see in chapter 24, verse 1. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them. Notice, the Lord's anger is against Israel. Not against David, but against Israel. David's the leader of the nation, but it's against Israel. It's against all those that David is in himself. You know, just as Israel in those last days, even in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, the leaders of that nation were all mixed up with the issues and the doctrines of the sons of Belial, with the religious nation Israel, with all their doings and all their engrafting of the things of all the nations all around them. You see those things going on, and you see typologies of those things in these passages. Some beautiful typologies there, just wonderful, and yet here, David also is going to stand there, even as the Lord Jesus Christ did, throughout the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as he went out for 3 years in a ministry to help Israel, even while they were fallen, and yet it was to no avail, and of course, we know in the history of Israel, the things that David did, again, was of no avail, but we'll get on into that as we get into chapter 24. But here, we're told to read all the Bible. And, you know, sometimes some of these names, they can get to be quite some tongue twisters. But as you read through this passage here, notice the names. The names as we go on with the studies, or as we have come through the studies at times, some of the names are going to pop up time and time again. You know what you need to do? You need to get into your Bible study program. Has everybody lost sound? Hold on a moment. Has everybody lost sound? Again now, okay? All right. You're hearing me now? Okay, good. Thank you. All right, good. All right, here we go. We're back with the study. Thank you, Dean. Again, thank you, Dean, for your wonderful job of posting and all, and we'll get into that. But watch here now as we read on these names in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 24. Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shema, the Herodite, Elika, the Herodite, Helez, the Peltite, Ira, the son of Ikesh, the Tekoite, Abiezer, the Anathothite, Mebunai, the Hushathite, Zalmon, the Halite, Maharag, the Netophathite, Heleb, the son of Baana, a Netophathite, Ita, the son of Rabbi of Joab of the children of Benjamin, Benai, the Pyrethonite, Hidei of the brooks of Gash, Tabi-Elban, the Arbathite, Asmaveth, the Barhumite, Elareba, the Shelbanite, of the sons of Jishon, Jonathan, Shama, the Herorite, Ehiam, the son of Shara, the Herorite, Elrathelet, the son of Heshabai, the son of Machathite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gileonite, Hezariah, the Carmelite,
Parai, the Arbite, Igal, the son of Nathan of Zobah, Bani, the Gadite, Zelub, the Ammonite, Naharai, the Berothite, armor bearer to Joab, son of Zariah, Ira, the Abrahite, Caleb, and Ithite, Uriah, the Hittite, 37 in all. Now, I'm not going to read the passage over there in First Chronicles. I'm just going to leave that to the rest of y'all to go ahead and do that. But we want to read those things. We want to recognize those names. We want to read all the Bible. There's truth that will come out of those names. And I'm sure you were recognizing some of them even as we read them. Brethren, you know what, brethren? It's getting to the point right now, I can't even see what I'm looking at on the page. My eyes are really getting all messed up here. Everything's getting real blurry. I'm going to have to stop the study for now. We'll continue with this study again come next week if I'm able to get up the strength to re-see some of the passage of 2 Samuel chapter 24. We'll get back into the study there, and we'll continue the study. Isn't there just some great truth? Isn't there just some great things that we can continue in faithfulness to the word of the Lord as we both get the answers? We both get the answers of all the things that people are claiming are mistakes in your authorized King James Version Bible, and they are not at all. They are simply just different perceptions of the same item. And also, to get on with the understanding of these passages, as David continues, as King David and the nation Israel continues on in their ministry and on their journey to receive all the blessings that the Lord had covenanted for them, we notice both those that are being faithful to the Lord and those who are not. And thereby, brethren, we will continue that in the next chapter, chapter 24, next week, hopefully, if I can get my eyesight back. Okay? I thank you all.